Thank you for the introduction. As he said, my name is Isaac Mertz. I'm a master's student at Iowa State University, and today I'm going to be talking about a research trial that we did looking at the responses of creeping bentgrass to a tryptophan-containing byproduct. So those of you that are familiar with cool season turf grasses, you know that creeping bentgrass is often found in intensely managed and high-value sporting environments, such as a golf course putting green. It is a cool season grass, so it prefers the fall and spring weather. And a consequence of this is that creeping bentgrass does not like the warm or the humid weather that you often find during the summer times, and this causes stress to the plant. And it's been shown that as soil temperatures increase beyond optimal levels for creeping bentgrass, that the cytokine levels within the plant become imbalanced. And it's been shown that this imbalance can lead to reduced shoot and root growth, which ultimately leads to a decline of vigor and productivity of the plant. And a few years ago, this was termed as summer bentgrass decline. And as those symptoms, such as the reduced root and shoot growth, persist, you get a decline in the quality of the playing surface. And this is when the golfers start complaining. So some of you might be wondering, why don't you just breed for drought or heat tolerance into creeping bentgrass? Well, that's actually an increasing focus for breeders. But as we all know, that the development of a commercially available cultivar takes a lot of money and time. So an alternative to directing research towards breeding is people are starting to look at the benefits of plant growth regulators for decreasing shoot growth, increasing root growth. As I said, this is becoming a very hot topic in the industry. Plant growth regulators are often broken down into two categories. There's the plant growth regulators that are intended to suppress plant growth, as I said, like Primo Max, is designed to decrease above ground tissue growth. And then the alternative to that are the plant growth regulators that are intended to promote plant growth. And these are often termed biostimulants. So biostimulants often contain any number of biologically active substances. These can be humic acids, vitamins, amino acids. It's long been known that adding organic substances to the soil is beneficial. Traditionally, those benefits are due to higher nutrient availability or improved physical properties of the soil. Biostimulants are different than just adding organic matter to the soil, and the biostimulants are thought to provide the plant growth regulating chemicals directly to the plant, or they stimulate the microbes around the rhizosphere, which release the plant growth regulating chemicals to the plant. Previous research has shown that applications of biologically active substances can result in a shift of plant hormone concentration and balances. And Dr. Zhang and Dr. Irving from Virginia Tech have done quite a bit of research on this, where they've shown that cytokinin-containing seaweed with humic acid extracts resulted in plant concentration shifts of cytokinin. And they've also shown that biostimulants boosted with tryptophan, which is a precursor for auxin, actually resulted in plant growth-regulating effects. So like I just said, there's been a little bit of research done over pure tryptophan. However, to date, there's not been any research done over a tryptophan-containing byproduct. So some of you might be wondering, what is this byproduct? How is it made? So the tryptophan-containing byproduct that we used during this study is the result of pure tryptophan, which is a fermentation process. The byproduct that we tested is considered a waste. However, its nutrient and amino acid content make it intriguing for the use as a plant growth regulator. The objectives of this study were to, one, determine whether applications of this byproduct improved the creeping bentgrass performance more than just pure tryptophan and or urea, and to two, identify a proper rate of the byproduct that would match a full year rate of urea that a golf course superintendent would use on their putting greens. So the materials and methods, it was a completely randomized design with four replications in two locations. So the experiment was laid out in a completely randomized design at each one of those locations. We used Penn A4 creeping bentgrass. They were plugs taken from a USGA green, and they were transplanted into the growth chamber in pods. We used sand-based growing medium in the pods, and the plants were irrigated to 50% field capacity every other day to induce some drought stress on the plants. As I said, the plants were in a growth chamber with day-night temps of 26.5 and 20 degrees Celsius, and they had a 14-hour photo period. The treatments were applied on 14-day intervals. They were foliar applications and then watered in to 50% field capacity weight. And as you can see, the way that the experiment was kind of designed is that there were three different product types, the byproduct urea and then pure tryptophan plus urea, and each one of these were applied in an equivalent amount of nitrogen. So we have a low rate, a medium rate, and a high rate, and the amount of nitrogen for each one of those low, medium, and high rates is equal for the different product types. The measurements that we took include photochemical efficiency, total leaf chlorophyll, leaf-free amino acids, and rooting biomass. Data were analyzed using ProcGLM within SAS, and the treatment means were subjected to Fisher's protected LSD test with a p-value of 0.05. While some of those measurements were taken weekly, only the means are reported here. So as you can see, it's a little hard to read because it's a large table. I kind of felt like that would be an issue. But the biggest thing to focus on here is that if you look, we did see quite a bit of differences between the treatments. However, when you look at the contrast between the product types, there was only a significant difference for the total free amino acids and the rooting biomass. And the way the contrasts are set up are the byproduct versus urea, the byproduct versus pure tryptophan and urea, and then pure tryptophan plus urea versus urea. So as you can see here, when we're looking at the total rooting biomass, there was a difference between the byproduct and urea and pure tryptophan plus urea versus urea. However, there was not a difference between the byproduct versus pure tryptophan plus urea. So you see that rooting effect is coming from the tryptophan, as there's no difference between the byproduct versus tryptophan plus urea. So, like I said, there was a rooting effect. That was the biggest thing that we found in this study, and we can say that it is coming from the tryptophan due to the fact that the nitrogen amounts were equal across the product types. And if you look at the highest rate for our byproduct, we saw a rooting biomass of 0.997 grams. And when you look at that compared to the highest rate of urea, which was treatment 6, that's about an 18.2% increase. And then if you look at the pure tryptophan plus urea compared to the highest rate of urea, that's about a 16.3% increase. And when we're talking about creeping bentgrass, that's pretty drastic. That's the difference between your plants dying overnight or being able to come in the morning and see them healthy. So this is just a pivot table that I included, looking at the average means for the three product types, and it was illustrated in the contrast table. And as you can see, there was a drastic difference between the byproduct and pure tryptophan plus urea versus just urea only. And like I said, so each one of these bars received the same amount of nitrogen on average, and so we can say that the rooting effect was not due to nitrogen. So in conclusion, biosolids containing traces of tryptophan had a greater positive effect of performance under drought stress compared to urea. and that the tryptophan byproduct may help maintain that hormonal balance that when we saw the imbalance of cytokine within the plant led to reduced root and shoot growth, the byproduct may help maintain that balance. And this is in line with the previous research that Dr. Urban and Dr. Zhang did looking at the effects of pure tryptophan. So in conclusion, if used properly, the byproduct could be an important tool for promoting turf grass vigor and improving summer stress tolerance of creeping bent grass. Are there any questions? Yes. Yep. So the question was, I talked about summer bentgrass decline, but the experiment was actually done in somewhat optimal conditions. The fact that we did it across two locations, the growth chamber made the most sense because we could minimize the variation coming from those environmental effects from the two sites. We mostly just focused on induced drought stress through irrigating only back to 50% of field capacity. So I didn't really talk about that much, but the first thing that we did is they were saturated. We let them drain for 2 days, and then they were weighed, and that was the field capacity weight. And then every time when they were watered, they were re-weighed, and only 50% of the difference from that field capacity weight was put back. So it was almost, we were continually subjecting them to more and more drought stress as the study progressed. Yes. So the question was, were there any visual differences observed in the samples that had higher biomass? And we actually did, so at Iowa State, we did NDVI measurements, which are supposed to be indicative of how healthy that above ground tissue growth is, and we did not see any differences for those. So, yes. Excuse me?
How did you measure the total amino acids?
I see.
Total amino acids.
How did you So we did not, the question was, how did we do the total free amino acid measurements? Those ones, we were not, those measurements were not done at Iowa State. We sent our samples to Virginia Tech, which was the second location of the experiment. So I would have to talk with Dr. Urban before I would be able to answer that question. Yep. So the question was, did we do any root length analysis? The way that the experiment was set up is due to the fact that they were grown in sand. Sand is not really restricted by oxygen, so all the samples had roots that went down to the bottom of the pot and became root bound. So we couldn't really get any differences from the rooting length. So the question was, did we do total diameter of the roots within the pot? No, we did not.
All right, let's thank our speaker.